Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Just want to share a verse with you in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, read two verses here, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Notice verse 10. "As we," as talking to the believers, "have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." This session we're going to talk about being a welcoming church. When people come in our churches, you know, notice the verse. The Bible says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." You know, I was thinking, you know, we have a lot of programs where we go soul winning, we go door to door, bus ministry, all these things that we're involved in. But I was thinking, you know, what an opportunity we have when someone walks into our church. A lot of times, you know, we try to get people by going out, but think about the impact that we can have right here when people sit in these pews as people come in. And that's what I want to talk about today. The first thing you see here in your notebook is the opportunity of leadership. Okay, now we know here because you're here today, you have a leadership position in this church, or you want to have a leadership position in this church. And we have to understand, God has given us many opportunities as we are involved in various church ministries. With these opportunities, we are to do good unto all men. That's our responsibility. That's the opportunity that we have. And think about the good that we can do when someone walks into our church. That's an opportunity, a great opportunity that God has given us. When people come visit our church, you know, we realize that God has given us an opportunity to do good. Opportunities may never come again once they have been missed. I want us to think about this, because someone can come into our church once and then leave and never come back again. We have to think, and when someone comes in for maybe the first time, maybe someone has never stepped into a church, think about, this might be the last time they ever come to any church. And we have to realize that this is an opportunity that God has placed in front of us. Okay, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." We also not only have an opportunity of leadership, but notice the responsibility of leadership. The responsibility of a leader is to make the most of the opportunities we have been given. You know, if you're teaching in a class, if you're helping as a teacher in a classroom, if you're a greeter, if you're an usher, if you're a choir member, nursery worker, bus ministry driver, bus worker, we have been placed in a position of leadership. And when a person is placed in a position of leadership, we understand that it is accompanied with responsibility. And our responsibility, when we look at Galatians chapter 6, is to make the most of the opportunity that's been placed before us. And I'm thinking that when someone comes into our church, that is a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous opportunity to have an impact on their lives. As leaders in our church, we are to set the example and the standard for all other people that are watching us. You know, when a person is in leadership, they naturally lead. And just because you're here today, just because you have a leadership opportunity, whether it be teaching, helping in the classroom, people are just watching you because people look up to you. Any position that you have, people naturally follow because they see that this is the standard we should follow. This is the example we should follow. And so we have to realize as we lead in this church, we should be examples. They can lead with a positive example or a negative example. You know, if we are going to be a welcoming church, and we ought to be, by the way, it is going to begin with the leaders. It's going to begin with us. If we are going to be the welcoming church that we ought to be, it's going to be with us right here. Because we are going to set the standard and the example in this area of being a welcoming church. You know, the way we treat people inside the church is really the way we treat people outside the church. You know, if we ignore people that come inside our church, it's really a reflection of how we treat people outside the church. And so we have to realize that. So first of all, I want us to think, just consider something about the visitors. You know, every visitor does not come to church for the same reasons. A lot of times I can get that way because, you know, Sunday is really a busy day. You know, I know for many of you, if you work in different areas, we can be very busy. And a lot of times we just get so busy and we really don't focus on the visitors and the people here. So I want us to consider a couple things of why people come to church. Notice letter A, some people are coming to church because a member of a church invited them to come. Okay? Now, this could be a neighbor, could be a coworker. You know, we have to be aware that someone has probably been working at being a good testimony to them. Someone in the church, a church member or a neighbor, has been maybe trying to witness to them, has been a witness on at the workplace, and they've been really trying to, to invite them to church many times, and now they finally come to church. And think about really the impact as they probably brag about their church and talk about, you really need to be in church. And they come, and they don't feel welcome. That would be a sad thing to think about a person that's been trying to work with this person, trying to get them in church, and now they finally come. We have to consider that as we think about visitors. Notice letter B, some people are coming to church because a family member attends the church. And by the way, I'm so grateful that most of my family members are saved. But I know that many people have a lot of family members that aren't saved. I was thinking when a pastor's family came on Resurrection Sunday, a lot of his family members are not saved. And he's been trying to witness to them and trying to be an example and think about the opportunity that we have to think about the impact that we can have upon a family member, someone that's been trying to witness to a family member. Notice letter C, some people are coming to church because they're going through a tragedy. Many times people come to church because they're dealing with something that's difficult in their lives and their hearts have been softened to the things of God. You hear a lot of times a testimony is when, some so-and-so's parent or mother or father passed away or their brother passed away, and then they come to church. Why? Because, they're softened to the things of God. They begin to think about life. They begin to think about death. They begin to think about eternity, and they're interested in the things of God. And we have an opportunity as someone, a lot of times we see a visitor as a visitor, but let's consider really what they're going through. Let's think about, really what they're dealing with. We don't know, but they might be dealing with a tragedy. And the only opinion that they'll have about our church is the opportunity that we have to be a welcoming church. Notice letter D. Some people are coming to church because they want to know more and have questions concerning God, life, and death. That could go on with tragedy, but some people may never have stepped into a Baptist church before. Have we ever considered that? Some people may have just attended a Catholic church their whole life. Some people have been, maybe have never even stepped into a church. And the only opinion that they will have about Capital Baptist Church is the opinion they have of us and how we treat them and how we talk to them and how we spend time with them and ask them questions. And so we have to consider that the only thing that they'll think about a Baptist church is Capital Baptist Church and how we treat them. And a lot of times we meet people and they say, well, Baptist, and they have a preconceived idea. That's because they've been in some church that was a Baptist church, and they had a negative experience there. And so we have to make sure that as visitors, we say, this is what a Baptist church is. And we should be excited about that. Letter E, notice some people used to go to church and left because of a bad experience with other Christians. That happens a lot. And I believe more often than we think, we are not trying to give the idea that we're a perfect church, because we're not. we're a bunch of imperfect people, but we're trying to reach people as Christ would. And letter F, notice, some come because they have been away from the Lord and they want to get back in church. And I believe that the way we welcome people, and we're going to go into details about how we can really work at being a welcoming church a little later on, but how we treat people can really have a strong impact upon the fact that they will come again. It's sad that if someone comes for the first time and then they leave and say, I'll never come back to that church. That'd be a sad thing. Just because they would say, I didn't feel welcome. Or, people didn't seem to care about me. Every visitor does not come to church for the same reason, but regardless of the reasons, we should always consider that we have an unchanging opportunity. And many people come for different reasons, but our opportunity stays the same. We have to, whatever circumstance they're coming for, we have to treat people the same way. And we have to consider that any of these possibilities can be true. So may these verse, think about these verse. May these verse ring in our mind. We know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Hebrews 2:10. Now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Luke 19:10, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Although people come for different reasons, dressed in different ways, it should not matter or change the way we receive them. I have to examine my own heart because I think sometimes, and I ask the Lord forgive me when as I was dealing with this, but when we go soul winning, we like to go to the poor areas and the small houses because we think people are going to be more receptive. And we don't like to go where there's big neighborhoods and big houses. That's just the flesh. But then when someone comes to our church, we like to greet the people that look like they're well off, but the people that are poor, we don't like to greet them. That's just weird. In my own heart, I found myself doing that so many times, and that's wrong. And so we have to think about that as we have an opportunity, we have the same opportunity with everybody that comes into our church, and regardless of why they're coming. So that we, as we consider here the visitors, secondly, let's consider the leaders. You know, people should think that our church is a place where Jesus is real enough to bring us joy. When people come to our church, they should think, this is a church where Jesus is real enough in this place to bring these people joy. You know, if people don't see the importance of us as leaders being a welcoming church, they'll never see the importance of them being a welcoming church. The teachers and workers in our church should lead by example in this area of being a welcoming church. We should set the standards, be the example for all the other church members. You know, when God places someone in a position of leadership, the influence is present. It's there. You influence people just because you're in a position of leadership. And so we all influence people around us. Let's influence the church as a whole to be a welcoming church. And you know, when people see us greeting people and go after visitors and they see that, you know, we see a visitor and we straight go to them and greet them, they're going to say, you know what, I think I should do that too. You know, they're the leaders in our church. They're the ones that are supposed to set the standards. You know what, I think we should do that too. And many times that'll happen. You know, the greatest example we have is the Lord himself. I think about two really, and really the ministry of Jesus is characterized by that. You think, yes, he fed 5,000, he preached, there was multitudes. But think about every personal relationship he had with individuals. You see that over and over again through the Gospels. I think of two instances, John 4:4. When Jesus went to talk to the woman at the well, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. Think about, and we know the story, but the woman was shocked that Jesus would even speak to her. She says, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you even talking to me? I think of the story with Zacchaeus in Luke 19:5, when Jesus, think about when Jesus came and Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus was. He went up into a tree, and then Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus came to the place where he was. He came to the place. That shows that he was going after one person. You know what? This Zacchaeus, he doesn't know me. I'm going to go after him. And then I don't recommend this, but he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. I wouldn't recommend you do that if someone comes into our church and says, you know what? I want to come to your house for dinner on a Tuesday. No, I don't think that would be the appropriate thing to do. But think about how personal that was and how he went after the individual. And by the way, that's our example. That's how Jesus dealt with people. And I believe that today we should see a lot of people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ across tables as we eat with them, as we fellowship with them, as they see that they think about the impact that it had when Jesus came to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. He knows my name? Yeah. Jesus knew his name. It was personal to him. Jesus was showing that he cares for everyone the same way. And by the way, when people talked about Jesus, notice what they said. They said, he eateth and drinketh with sinners. Jesus says that the scribes and the Pharisees were making fun of him because the Bible says Jesus was the friend of sinners and publicans. So there's really a few things I want us to be reminded of as leaders. And these are really dealing with, this is really philosophy that before we do anything outside, we actually talked about these in the sessions before, we have to examine our own hearts. So first of all, we have to be faithful in our devotional life. We have to be faithful in our devotional lives. You know, in our service for the Lord, we cannot neglect our walk with the Lord. As we serve the Lord, we cannot neglect our walk with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, Paul was writing to the church of Thessalonica. He says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that, notice, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. Think about it. He says, we have set the standard for you. As Paul was a leader, we have to understand that we're leaders as well, and we have to set the example, how others ought to walk. And we have to realize that before we do anything in our service for the Lord, we have to think about our personal walk with God. You know, make sure that you are faithful in your prayer life and reading the Bible. The greatest example we can have in front of other people is in our devotional life. In other words, the greatest thing that we can do for visitors, the greatest thing we can do for our students, the greatest thing that we can do for people that come visit our church is for us to walk with the Lord. There is no amount of busyness or religious activity that can substitute for spirituality. I know it's hard for me because I'm here full time in the ministry. And sometimes I can think, well, I'm spiritual because I'm involved in all these different ministries. That's not what the spiritual person is. We have to think about our personal walk with God. And by the way, that affects everything else. So first of all, be faithful in your devotional life. Secondly, be faithful in your church life. We all know Hebrews 10:25, but we should be faithful in our church services and faithful to encourage others to come to be faithful. You know, we should plan our schedule around the church. And we've heard this many times, but we should truly think about the church and how we can be involved in the church more and how we can make sure that we don't plan anything so we can miss something. You know, I understand sometimes there's things that come up. There's funerals, there's a family dealing with something, and you have to leave, you have to be there. But when we purposefully do something to replace what should be taking place in the church, that's wrong. So we have to be conscious of that. Number three, work at being happy in the Lord. Now, pastor is dealing with that. He's going to preach a series on spiritual, and he used spiritual depression, and he used the verses from Psalm 42. But notice, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. We should be a hopeful people. One of the simplest ways, really, to make people feel welcome in our church is just by being happy. This is actually works in two ways. Notice it's written there, people who love their church and are happy with it tend to invite people to attend with them in much greater numbers. If you notice, really, many times I find it amazing is that the people that get saved tend to bring the most visitors. When someone just gets saved and then all of a sudden they bring someone. Why? Because they're happy. They just got saved. And so just that enthusiasm, that happiness, automatically we see people attend. Their enthusiasm for their church is contagious. You know, we all tend to tell others about things we enjoy, whether it be a good book, a favorite restaurant, or even our church. And second, the second way that happiness makes visitors feel welcome is by its attractive quality. You know, the thing most people are attracted to a smile, to enthusiasm, to joy, and happiness. You know, most people are void of these things, but they desperately want to experience it. That's why when people think about our church, they should think that this is a church where Jesus is real enough to bring them joy. So people should notice, and you have that statement again. So what can we do to better ourselves? What can I do? Let's try to get personal to better ourselves and to be a welcoming church. Now notice these things. We see letter A. First of all, look for visitors so you can help them feel welcome. What I mean by that is, you know, when we go to church, we should look for visitors. In other words, when the time to shake hands and to, you know, greet visitors, when that opportunity is risen, you know, we should look for visitors. Yes, we should say, people say, don't ignore church members, you know what I mean? But we should look for visitors. And you know what? I see a visitor back there. I'm going to try to get to them. I see them, and you know what? I'm going to look for them, okay? And that's very important as we think about that because, you know, a lot of times there's eye contact. When we make an eye contact with a visitor, we better greet them. Because they think, can you imagine I make eye contact with Brother Wheeler, shaking people's hands, and then I'm going to go this way? Think about just how that little thing could impact them. You know, one of the goals we should seek to accomplish is to look for visitors. Secondly, smile and remember that believers ought to have the joy of the Lord. Now, by the way, that comes from having a walk with the Lord. Okay, if you're walking with the Lord, there's going to be joy. Pastor was preaching on that on Wednesday. And so we have to remember that as Christians, when we go to church, we should have the joy of the Lord. We should be a happy people. Letter C, seek to be a help to those that bring their children and their teenagers. You know, many times when a family comes to Sunday school, they have no idea where to go. They have families, they have children. And you know, when we see a family come, when they have teenagers and children, automatically we should think, hey, do you know where you're going? Could I help you? Could I assist you? You know, we have Sunday school classes for every age group. I would be willing to assist you in this way. You know, think about, you know, usually...